We're going to be reading from Psalm 100, which I'm told is page 604 of the church Bibles, because I'm reading electronically, and I'm sure it'll be up on the screen anyway. So Psalm 100, it's a psalm for giving thanks. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues throughout all generations.
Thank you very much, Thelma. This is a sort of one-off. Well, it's, as Niku said, we're having Creation Sunday next Sunday, and I'm really excited about that, and do be praying that that's a good time for us all. And we finished our summer series looking at stories with Jesus, so we have a one-off. So I thought it would be useful to think about thankfulness. Sort of September is kind of a new year type thing. Whether or not you follow the school terms and the school year, it sort of feels like the summer is sort of coming to an end and the new term is beginning. And so it's a good chance for us to stop and think about kind of how to approach the coming term and the coming year. And thankfulness is not a bad place to begin that. So let me pray for us, and then we're going to think about this psalm for a little bit. Heavenly Father, we thank you because you have done so much for us. And we thank you for your word. And we thank you for your spirit that opens our eyes to see it and to understand it and to live it. And so we pray that your spirit would so breathe into our hearts that we would take in what you want to say to us and transform us for your glory, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Alexander White was a minister in Scotland around about the kind of turn of the 20th century. And he was known for various different things. But one of the things he was particularly well known for was his uplifting prayers from the pulpit. He would lead the church in prayer and he would always be positive and upbeat in his prayers. Well, I imagine most of the people in the church enjoyed that, but not everyone is always positive and upbeat. And one particular Sunday morning, the weather was so unbelievably bad and gloomy that one of the church members thought to themselves, well, as we're come to church today, and as it's pouring with rain and it's thunder and lightning and it's horrible, at least the preacher can't find anything to be positive and thankful about today. Well, Alexander White entered the pulpit. He lifted his eyes to heaven and prayed, Lord, we thank you that it's not always like this. It's something, isn't it, to be known for your thankfulness. Now, I'm told that that story is true. Whether or not it is, apparently Alexander White was someone who was known for his thankfulness. Not just a positive smile on his face all the time, but for someone who was thankful to God in a whole host of different circumstances. And I wonder if that could be said of us. I wonder if it could be said of me. I have to say, most of the time, no. I fall short of thankfulness a lot of the time. Occasionally, I do pray before a meal and give thanks to God for the food that I'm about to enjoy. But I wonder if I spend much of my time being thankful to God. And when I pray, whether I spend most of my time being thankful to God for what he has done, or praying for the things that I'm most worried about whether he'll come through and do today. Well, the answer is that I'm not as thankful as I would like. And that's why I need a psalm like Psalm 100. And that's why it's good for us to, well, it's good for me to dig into it. If you're anything like me, then listen in. And if you are a very thankful person already, well, you can sort of nod off or think about what you're doing tomorrow or be thankful. But I think Psalm 100 is a good psalm for all of us to look into because it is a psalm designed for giving thanks. I'm really grateful to Thelma for reading the introduction to the psalm as well. And that introduction is usually in sort of small print in our Bibles, but it is part of the text of Scripture. It is part of God's inspired text for us. So where it says a psalm, that is part of God's truth for us today. And when it says it's a psalm for giving thanks or a psalm for grateful praise, as some versions put it, that is important for us to understand. We should take note of that. And this psalm is a psalm for giving thanks. It enables us, it equips us, it helps us to give thanks. And particularly, this psalm tells us an amazing truth, which is that thankfulness is worship. Thankfulness is worship. You need that little note at the beginning of the psalm, that this is a psalm for giving thanks. Because if you just looked at how the psalm began, you might get a different idea of what this psalm is about. You might think this is a psalm actually about worship. So just look at how the psalm begins. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. This is a psalm about worship, isn't it? It's a psalm about singing. It's a psalm about gladness. It's a psalm about shouting for joy. It's a worship psalm. And it is. But it is also a psalm for giving thanks. Because the psalm wants us to see, God wants us to see that there is an intimate connection between thankfulness and worship. That thankfulness is itself a form of worship to our generous God. That as we see what God has given to us, and as we're thankful for it, so that thankfulness expresses itself, is itself worship. Thankfulness is worship. It's not the only expression of worship, but it is a wonderful and important expression of worship. We see that even more as we go through the psalm. So if you've got a Bible or app open, have a look at verse 4. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. This is a brilliant bit of Hebrew poetry. Hebrew poetry isn't about rhyming. We tend to think about poetry as rhymes, but the Hebrews didn't really think that way. They thought about it in parallels. They'd put one thing next to each other and either contrast or it would expand on it. And here you see that really in action. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts, same thing, gates, courts, with praise. Thanksgiving and praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. The writer of this psalm is deliberately telling us that thanksgiving and praise go together. They are, as it were, the same thing. They are connected. They are knitted together. Being thankful to God is a fundamental part of praising God because thankfulness is worship. One follows the other. So, if we want to grow in worship this evening, we need to ask God that he'll help us to grow in thankfulness as well. The two come together. We need to grow in our thankfulness if we want to grow in our worship. And I believe as we think about the coming term, as we look ahead, as we go towards the wonder of Christmas to come, and we think about this psalm this evening, God wants to ignite our worship of him. God wants to bring further into flame our worship and praise this evening. He wants us to be drawn into deeper communion with him, and he's going to do that by starting with our thankfulness. Thankfulness is a brilliant gateway into deeper and more wonderful worship, because thankfulness is a huge part of worship. Now, as we think about that, it's important for us to understand that that doesn't mean that we are somehow naive optimists. Yeah, when we talk about thankfulness, the danger is that we can feel like, as Christians, we're supposed to go around with this somewhat false smile on our face, a kind of mask that says, oh, isn't anything wonderful? Isn't God blessed me wonderfully? When actually things are very, very difficult. Now, thankfulness isn't like that. True thankfulness doesn't deny that life is often difficult or painful or full of grief or sadness. But what it does is in the midst of the worst of circumstances, it recognizes that we can still, and we should still, be thankful towards our Father God. So that's what we want to capture something of this evening. We want to grow in our worship by growing in our thankfulness, and whatever the circumstances, to be able to hold on to that thankfulness to God. So how are we going to do that? Well, if God wants to ignite your worship through thankfulness, he wants to fuel your thankfulness through knowledge. He wants to fuel your thankfulness through knowledge. Now, I've sort of put a picture of a bunch of books up there, but actually that's not terribly a helpful picture. I just couldn't find anything better. Because when I say that thankfulness is fueled by knowledge, that doesn't mean that we need some deep academic knowledge in order to be thankful people. We don't need some great learning with letters after our name in order to ignite our worship. That's not the kind of knowledge that I'm talking about. What I mean is that our thankfulness is fueled by knowing certain things. Not by great academic knowledge, but knowing certain things. And that is exactly how this psalm is constructed for us. What this psalm does is alternates between praise and thanksgiving and reminding us about certain facts about God. Did you notice that? You see, it's a very short psalm, but it's very carefully and properly constructed. So verses 1 and 2 are all about praise. Verse 3, know something. Verse 4 comes back to praise. Verse 5 comes back to something that we need to know. And that makes perfect sense, doesn't it? It makes perfect sense because our natural state is not one of thankfulness. It's not one of praise to our Creator God. It's turned inwards rather than outwards. That's our natural state. And so we forget very easily, so easily, the basic facts about who God is and his goodness to us. And so we need to be reminded. And so this psalm reminds us of our daily growth in thankfulness. It is to know things about God and to be fueled by praise and thankfulness. To know things about God again and to be fueled by praise and thankfulness. To know and to praise and to know and to praise. And that is the fuel that ignites our worship and our thankfulness. So what are we to know? Well, these are not going to be, I hope, surprising things for you. But they are reminders of deep truths that we need to hear again and again that bring us back to the core of how we are thankful to God. What are we to know? We are, first of all, to know that we are God's. No, we're not God's. We are God's possessive. We belong to God. Okay? The first thing we are to know is that the Lord is God and that we belong to him. We are made by him. And we are his. So the psalm tells us, know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. What are we to know if we are to be fueled by thankfulness? We are to know that we belong to God. And that means, first of all, to know that we are crafted. It is he who made us, and we are his. We're not just to gaze on God being God, but he is the God who made us, the God who crafted us, the God who shaped us and fashioned us to be the people we are. See, our thankfulness will begin to increase as we remember that God made you. Not just made you in some kind of abstract sense, in that we kind of know, yeah, God created the heavens and the earth, and he created all the people and the animals and the trees and all that kind of stuff. I mean, we know that, and I don't want to be flippant about it. It is a deep, amazing truth. But it kind of tends to be in the abstract, doesn't it? God made people. That's true. But God made you. You personally. He made you with your unique character, your unique personality, your unique gifts and talents, your unique quirks and the way that you think and the way that you do things. Everything that is unique about you, he designed you that way. Everything about you has been constructed by a creator God, from the tips of your fingers to the very inmost part of your being. Everything you like about yourself has been crafted by our amazing Father God. And everything you dislike about yourself has also been crafted by an amazing creator, God. He did not miss things out. He did not make mistakes. He made you as you, crafted and knitted together to be the unique person that you are. He made you. And we did not make ourselves. I love this word, this quote from the Baptist preacher, Charles Spurgeon. He said this, you may not be able to read it on the screen. Some men live as if they made themselves. They call themselves self-made men, and they adore their supposed creators. But Christians recognize the origin of their being and their well-being and take no honor for themselves, either for being or for being what they are. Which is sort of fancy language to say, we are not self-made people, we've been made by a God, and that fuels our being and our well-being, and therefore our praise and thankfulness. We are crafted. And along with being crafted, we are cared for. We are his, says the psalm. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. The God who made us, the God who wrote our DNA and built our bones, cares for us as a shepherd looks after his sheep. Truth is that there are times in our lives where we don't particularly care for ourselves that much, either looking after ourselves or particularly liking ourselves that much. But here the psalm tells us that God cares for us at all times. He never stops being delighted in the person that he has crafted and made. God cares for us every moment. He cares for us and shows that care through the world that we live in, through the food that we have to eat, the clothes that we have to wear, the families we have, and a million other things. God's care for us is shown most of all through the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are his people. We belong to him, and he has bought us for himself at the price of his own dear son. How much does God care for you? Enough that he would send his son to the cross. That is the value that he puts on each one of our heads. And God wants to say to us, look, if you want to be thankful people, if you want to grow in thankfulness, then know that you belong to me. Know that I have made you in every intimate tiny part of you. And know that I have bought you with the best and biggest price that I could ever pay. Know that you are uniquely crafted and infinitely valuable. And know that your beauty and your worth are not to be found in just what we imagine about ourselves. It is to be found in the objective declaration of God himself. What God says about us, what God says over us, that we are his people, we are the sheep of his pasture, and that will make us thankful people. One of the other people I love to read is G.K. Chesterton, who usually puts things in a really, really powerful way. And again, I love this quote that he said, which is, when we were children, we were grateful for those who filled our stockings at Christmas time. Why then are we not grateful to God for filling our stockings with legs? How easily we say thank you, I hope, to those who give us gifts, and yet God has given us the most amazing gift of ourselves and the gift of his son, and yet so easily we forget to thank him. We are his. We belong to God. That's the first thing that we need to know. And here's the second thing that we need to know. We need to know that God is good. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. The psalm wants us to know, not just know intellectually, but know deep down that God is good. That there is a God who has created and crafted us, and that is something to be thankful for, but we can be even more thankful to know that that same God is a God full of goodness and mercy and loving kindness. God calls us to think deeply on who he is, to take his word and to read it. And one of the most powerful things you can do if you kind of think, oh, I don't really know what to do when I read my Bible. If you've thought that, if you kind of open your Bible and think, well, I kind of maybe have a daily reading or something like that, but I never know quite. I read it, and then what else do I do? I might read a little passage and then I'm kind of a bit stuck. Well, one of the most powerful things you can do is to read a passage of the Bible and then pray and ask and then look again into God's word to say, what does this tell me about what God is like? What does this tell me about what God is like? Because God's word is full of information, full of truths about the author. And if we drink deeply from that, that will naturally throw into thanks and praise to the God who is revealed in the words of Scripture. This psalm wants us to dwell on the character of God. But I think more than that, this psalm wants us to think and to delight in not just the character of God, but the consistency of God. That God is good, and he is always good. He is unchangingly good. So again, look again at verse 5. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Those really are words to live by. Because we live in a world where almost nothing stays the same. Alpha courses move from Thursday to Tuesday. Everything's changing, isn't it? Everything's developing. There's a new model to be replacing the old model. Everything's upgraded. Things are designed to be disposable, obsolete in a moment, and discarded. Nothing seems to last. We live around that so much that we begin to think it about so many other things as well. And the danger is that we can think that about God. Yes, God is good, but maybe he won't be so good tomorrow. Yes, God is good because I'm at church, but when I've screwed up a bit tomorrow, he won't be quite so good. Yes, God is good now, but will he be good in the future? And this psalm reminds us that God is good and faithful and loving forever. Not just yesterday, not just today, not just when you're in church, but forever. His love endures forever. And that is truly something to be thankful for. Again, C.H. Spurgeon said these words, "A changeable God would be a terror for the righteous. They would have no sure anchorage amid a changing world. They would be driven to and fro in perpetual fear of shipwreck." I wonder if that describes friends, family. To be honest, I wonder if that describes us too much of the time. You know, driven to and fro in perpetual fear of shipwreck. That's how often we feel. And that's because we've forgotten our anchor. That God is good and unchanging forever. He is a sure anchor in a changing world. He is good today, tomorrow, and forever. And that will make us thankful. So we need to give thanks. I mean, it's very simple. I mean, to be honest, this psalm has one application. This sermon has one application. I've just strung it out for a little bit longer because otherwise you think you got shortchanged. But the application is very simple. Be thankful. But me just telling you to be thankful is not going to really cut it, is it? We need to be thankful from the inside out. We need our thankfulness to flow from an inner conviction. And that inner conviction comes from a deep conviction of the fact that we know who God is and we know what he's done for us. We know that he is good, unchangingly good, and that we belong to him. And when we know that, our thankfulness will grow and our worship will grow and we will grow in all those things. And our thankfulness will flow in every way. We won't just be thankful when we feel we ought to be. Again, G.K. Chesterton, I'm sorry, the contrast doesn't work very well there, so you probably can't read it, but let me read it for you. G.K. Chesterton said this, "You say grace before meals." All right. "But I say grace before the concert and the opera, and grace before the play and the pantomime, and grace before I open a book, and grace before sketching, painting, swimming, fencing, boxing, walking, playing, dancing, and grace before I dip my pen in the ink." That is thankfulness. It's thankfulness that spills out in everything we do, because everything we do comes from God, but it's thankfulness that flows from a deep conviction that God is good and that God has made us his own. So let me pray that that conviction would grow in our lives. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you are unchangingly good, that your love endures forever. And in a changeable world, you are our anchor, our sure footing. And we thank you that you have bought us. You have made us and you have bought us. We are twice yours because we belong to you. We pray that you would allow those truths, so easily said but so hard to truly grasp, to sink so down deep in our lives that thankfulness bubbles up without us even trying. And as thankfulness bubbles up in our lips and our lives, so worship and praise will come with it. In Jesus' name, amen.